Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And I am really up on the idea of the God of War today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The Times Square bomber was sentenced to life in prison today.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the United States is about to fall and that Muslims are at war with the U.S.
Really?
Yeah, I pretty much said, cool, bring it on.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've personally declared war on Islam.
There you go. Somebody had a suggestion on Twitter today. He said, gosh, you know, about 3 neutron bombs over Iran and Saudi Arabia and all of those places would pretty much take care of that problem.
Tehran, Qom, was it?
Yep.
Qom,
yep.
And Mecca.
Yeah.
50 megs, you know, each.
Yep, there you go.
50 megs each, you know. I'm clean. Let's do it during the Hajj, though, you know.
Yep.
100 million birds with one stone.
Yeah.
You know me.
You know, that was really a dumb thing for him to say.
Why? He's going to jail for life, you know, and life, hopefully, in jail will be short.
I'm thinking it probably will be. say what you want about the criminal population. They do tend to be patriotic.
Somewhat, yeah.
You can screw around with a lot of things, and yeah, they don't mind robbing, raping, murdering, pillaging, and all that kind of stuff, but by God, you come after their country and look out. So I'm pretty dumb thing. I don't have an expectation of long life for this guy.
That's not true. He had expectation for long life.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Because I mean, he wasn't hanging around.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So ignoring all that other stuff, that's just, you know, I'm definitely looking for a fatwa. I've been trying to get one of those things for almost a year now. It's just driving me crazy.
Hey, do they send it to you so that you could, like, frame it and put it up on your wall and that kind of stuff, or what? Do you know?
I'm hoping they come to the door and deliver it themselves personally.
Ah, okay. All right. Cool.
Just saying, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
I wanted to send a notice to Molly Norris. I really wish I could do something to help her. So.
Who's this?
Molly Norris is the one that the FBI told go ghost.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Isn't that a shame? Jesus.
She says, let's have a cartoon day, a cartoon day. She gets a fatwa. I wear a cartoon for a whole month. Nobody gives me shit.
And nobody does nothing for you. Man, there's no justice.
No justice. I actually understand that, Molly might be, scared shitless. And that I'd kill back.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's kind of like, if you're going to do something like that, you have to have the right mindset. And the right mindset is, screw with me and you die.
Did she really expect they were just going to go laughing at her?
Yeah, really? Jesus.
Give me a think.
Mm-hmm. So anyway,
What I wanted to do on, rather than, I think I want to put this out for a few people. Okay? Let everybody throw some stuff out to us.
Okay.
Okay? We've got some time to think about it and to do some planning about it. Okay? But we have a Tuesday night program on Election Day.
Yes, we do.
Okay? And by the time we come on the air, there are going to be some cases on the East Coast, some you know, things including Florida, which will be have been decided, or at least in the seriously long counting phase.
Mm-hmm.
Question I want, this is the question I want everybody to think about. I want you to think about it. I want to think about it some more. I want anybody else that's listening, you know, Pammy, anybody that's listening, what races should we actually plan on covering? I mean, because there's going to be, you know, we've got about 540 or 50 races.
Oh, yeah.
Between the Senate and some of the governor's positions. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of things to cover. Obviously, we're not going to cover all of them, you know, and, you know, if it's a big route for the GOP, we're talking about, you know, as many as 80 or 100 House races we could be looking at. You know, I would suggest that about 20 of the Senate races are not in play. There's certainly something to be said about, you know, people that are theoretically not in play that could actually be in play that night.
Yep, sure could.
But what races should we be paying attention to? I mean, obviously Reed Engel is something we want to pay attention to simply because, you know, he's Senate Majority Leader, so that's going to be an issue.
Yep.
You and I basically here in California have a boxer for Reno thing that we want to watch too. But I also want to look at Feingold Johnson in Wisconsin, because I think if Feingold loses in Wisconsin, and right now he's 12 points down. In the polls. I mean, he's there's some big numbers against him at this point.
Oh, yeah.
If he loses in Wisconsin, I think there's probably better than a 50-50 chance that the GOP gets the Senate.
You know, I really could. You know, Delaware isn't critical to that calculation, although that's going to be an interesting race just to see how close Christine O'Donnell can come.
I like her ad that she opened up with today.
Yeah, I'm what is it? I'm you or something like
I'm
that?
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you know, the self-immolation of GOP people has really got to stop, and she's a pretty good, you know, example of that particular process, you know, getting stopped in its track.
You know, that's really true, and language plays a really big important part of that. I've often wondered why a huge Democratic donor is a principled philanthropist and a huge Republican donor is a fat cat. Same amounts, but one's a principled philanthropist, the other one is a fat cat.
Oh. Well,
just kind
because
of boggles the mind there.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. Language has a lot to do with it, and I just think that on non-principle issues, we tend to be a lot harder on our people than the Democrats tend to be.
Yep, yep. I mean, if you want a guy who knows how to get up in people's grills, just look at Chris Christie there in New Jersey.
Right.
I mean, Jesus. He doesn't take crap off of anybody. He says, I don't care. I don't care if I'm a one-term governor. I don't care. I know what's right, and that's what we're going to do. And so far, by God, he's made it stick.
Well, the alternative was that, you know, New Jersey implode.
Well, that's true. Kind of like California, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, if Jerry Brown gets in California, it is going to implode. It's just going to be – it's not even going to matter when. It's just going to be how bad.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, that could happen pretty quickly. Apparently, the legislators and the governor, current governor, the governator, have reached an agreement on a budget that has no new taxes. $7 billion in cuts, but we're looking at a $20 billion shortfall, so I'm not sure how much is smoke and mirrors here. And they're going to delay a corporate tax reduction for 2 years. And that's apparently the major parts of all of this. But I can tell you there's
still where a big chunk of money is going to flow out of the budget so that we don't have to worry about that. Once Arnold is gone, you know, the 27 extra bodyguards that he has for the paparazzi, we don't need anymore.
That's true.
You know, and we don't need a Hummer for Brown, so, you know, if it's him, you know, he can
he'll take a bike or something, right?
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And, you know, Meg's got lots of transportation. She can just bring her own.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that's got to at least add up to at least 18 or 19 million.
There you go. It's pretty crazy. But California politics is that way. I mean, look at the latest thing with Meg on the theoretical illegal alien, right? I mean, you know, Gloria Allred jumps up and says, oh, my God, isn't this terrible? But what the hell did she want Meg to do? I mean, Meg can't profile, right? So you can't just not hire a Hispanic maid. Paid her $23 an hour. Incidentally, folks, that's cash. That doesn't count Social Security, Medicare, all that kind of stuff that the employer pays. And when she found out that she was illegal, she fired her. So she picked her up through an agency.
Right, we had an immigration lawyer on one of the radio stations, I know, a couple of days ago, say that Social Security letter, if they fired her because of that Social Security letter, she could have taken them to court for wrongful termination.
Exactly. You know, it's a big hullabaloo. It comes at a pretty critical time. I have hope for the California electorate, because it appears, at this point anyway, that in the polling, Meg is still picking up ground. So, there is hope.
I think she actually loses.
Think so?
Yeah.
To Brown? To Governor Moonbeam?
Yep.
Boy.
Because
he of little faith.
Because there's 10 million union workers in this state.
Boy, there's a really good reason to disenfranchise somebody.
Yeah, I mean, almost all of those union workers are paid employees or rely on state funds.
No, that's true. That's true.
You
know, I don't
so
know. She's within 3 or 4 points, so I'm feeling fairly optimistic. And by that time, by the time that we get done voting, East Coast results will be coming in. And if there's a wave there, I think you can look at maybe a wave happening out here on the left coast.
Well, I think it's, you know, I honestly believe that in the big scheme of things, California is still the lands of fruits and nuts, and even my presence here doesn't help that.
Well, nor mine. I guess the only thing I can say is the old saying used to be, as California goes, so goes the nation. God, I hope that isn't true any longer. Because we're circling the drain.
Well, I would like to believe that there are enough people in the state of California that have gotten the idea that we can't keep doing this shit.
Yep. That would be a good thing. Yep.
I haven't seen it.
Well. Yeah, I don't know how conservative or liberal Poe is. Although if it's down in Southern California, there's a pretty good chance that it's fairly conservative. So I'm not. I mean, you know, I don't know. You're closer to the politics there.
You know. Everybody's saying exactly the same thing. You know, it's realistically speaking way too close to call.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't be. I just don't understand. Yes, I do. I understand. I understand the mentality of the people that want him. You know, Victoria's already suggested she's going to vote for him, you know.
Okay.
That's, you know, consistent with her normal point of view, and I don't have any particular issues with it in the sense that people should vote for who they want.
Well, sure. Absolutely.
My only problem is, and this is actually a problem that came up in a conversation over the weekend, or late last week, you know, the idea that only 25 or 30% of the people are going to vote.
Mm.
And I suggested, you know, realistically speaking, does a mandatory, you know, requirement to vote help or hurt?
Oh, hurts, I think. Absolutely. I mean, ask yourself this. Do you want somebody who doesn't know and doesn't care about the issues to vote?
I've been doing it for 30 years.
Not knowing and not caring?
On too many topics, in too many races, too often, yeah.
Hmm.
Now, that's changed over the last 5 and 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, there was too many things that I went, this doesn't have any impact on me, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, first of all, I've never been in a place where they have ballot initiatives, so, you know, that type of, you know, fundamental involvement in the process didn't exist. I mean, I was out here in California, but that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I maintained my, original state of residence voting capacity. I absentee ballot back to Chicago. So,
okay.
You know, I agree it's probably more harmful, but then you might have the idea that, you know, fake it till you make it.
Yeah, well, okay.
Fake it till you get it, you know, until, you know, people start voting. You know, because I agree, what will happen is we will have a whole lot of moonbeams getting elected. We'll have, you know, Al Franken's and, you know, Jerry Brown's getting elected all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if an inept government could be that... ineffective. Because if it's ineffective, if it's so inept that it's ineffective,
mm-hmm.
then it's kind of to our benefit to elect a lot of inepts.
Now, I guess I can follow the logic on that, and I would say, boy, you know, if you're going to follow that philosophy in national elections, or where you are electing someone that represents, or at least on a theoretical basis, the nation, the House of Representatives or senators or president, then yeah, that could happen. But if you talk about your state, that really does directly affect you. So if you have an ineffective governance, or even an inimical governance at the state level, that absolutely impacts you on a day-to-day basis.
Well, you know, see, I'm kind of in a disagreement with you only because of my long personal preference for, you know, the only good government is, you know, the one I can't see or feel.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, but, yeah, go ahead.
You know, most of the local stuff is, I don't know, not so much feel.
Hmm. Well, I'm okay. I can feel, even up here in Northern California, way California, I can feel the effects of a Democrat-controlled legislator. I can feel that. They passed a thing. Now I've got to, with precision, locate where I take water out of a stream. Now, I've got riparian rights, which means I can use that water for any beneficial purpose without limit. But now I have to identify by GPS coordinate where I take water out of. And that is just a precursor to, well, we're going to limit that right for you. So I'm saying, yep, that affects me. Absolutely. So, yep.
Well, okay. I don't disagree. You know, having to replace all of my light bulbs with CFLs.
Exactly.
You know, in 2 years, which, of course, is, you know, blatantly stupid.
Exactly. I mean,
I wonder if I could start a business about that.
Probably. Yeah, probably on either side.
Hmm.
I mean, it almost takes a hazmat clean company to clean up a breakage on one of those. Now, people aren't going to do that, but if they got pets, if they got small children, you got problems there, folks. Maybe not so much with adults, but even so, you do with if you've got pets or small kids. it's just a terrible idea, and wasn't necessary.
And
I mean,
doesn't do anything that it says it was intended to do.
Exactly. Exactly. You know,
and by the way,
yeah,
I have never put a CFL bulb in
really
that lasted anywhere near as long as they said it was going to.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. Yep. Yep, yep. You know, that was just a whole bunch of hype and malarkey.
I find them unable to last any longer than any other bulb.
Yep. Ah, they may be a little bit longer. I mean, fluorescents do tend to have a longer life, but you know, they certainly don't live up to their billing of, oh, yeah, 6 or 7 years of usage. Yeah, I'm sorry, no. A couple of years, maybe, sure.
I haven't had one that's lasted a year.
Really?
Huh. Not one.
Well, of course, the ones that we've got are in, let's see, in our hallway, in the bathrooms. We had one, actually, we've got one in a lamp by the sofa. Beyond that, all the rest of ours are either fluorescent tubes in the kitchen or they're incandescents. And I much prefer the incandescents. I mean, I'm comfortable with that technology. I know what it does and all of that kind of stuff. The CFLs, not so much. We've broken a couple of them already. They are a mess to clean up. And who knows how much mercury we're getting. I don't. I'm at the point where I'm saying, you know what, I'm old enough, I don't care. It don't matter.
All right. So let's talk about over the next couple of weeks which races we're going to talk about.
Okay, good.
And Reed, Angle, Feingold, Johnson, Boxster, Fiorini, and Brown, Whitman are on my list.
Yep.
You
know, down there in your neck of the woods, you might want to look at that Papaditch race.
I will start looking at races here soon.
Yep. Yep.
Let's talk about something that's kind of under the radar for a lot of people, but kind of noticeable. What is your opinion of those firefighters in Tennessee?
Oh, well, actually, two opinions. One, it was pretty heartless, but two, the guy didn't pay his fee. So, you know, shame on him. And if he didn't pay it, he didn't pay it. He's not entitled to the protection. And apparently, those firefighters, and my read on it is this. The city pays the firefighters. They contract out to at least some other part of the counties, to the county, to fight fire if you have paid a $75 fee. So if you lived in the city and you have paid taxes that pay them, then I think you're entitled to the protection. If you live out in the county and you have not paid the $75 fee, then you are not entitled to that protection. That's my quick read on it.
Well, the only thing that I would suggest is if they had a mortgage, and they had insurance, I could see a mortgage lender or an insurance company demanding that they pay the $75.
I could see that. I mean, if they didn't, then shame on them. But, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Do that.
Otherwise, I'm kind of with you. You know, they didn't want, they burned it, you know, they let it burn down, so
mm-hmm.
they let it burn down.
Yep. I'm, you know, yes, I'm sorry for the guy, but he should have paid the $75. Would have been really cheap insurance for him. You know, and I don't know how they work it back there. Out here, I live in a fire protection zone that's covered by the Hayfork Valley Volunteer Fire Department. And they recently instituted, and we voted on it and passed it, a $100 a parcel fee to do that. But that is collected with our taxes. I mean, that isn't, oh, I have to write them a separate check and I just forgot or anything else. It's collected with the taxes. So why they don't have that kind of a thing going on there, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's kind of a mystery to me. But you're right. I'm, you know, shame on him. He didn't pay the $75, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about this when Obamacare was going on.
Yep.
You know, how many people would buy car insurance if, while the cars are still smoking in the intersection, you know, somebody said, do you want car insurance?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, you betcha. Now I want it. I didn't want it yesterday, but now I want it.
We're kind of in that position with this here, you know.
Yep.
The house is on fire, and he goes, well, I'd pay the $75 now. Well, I understand that.
Yeah, but it's too late. You can't do that. Actually, my understanding is he offered to pay them whatever it took to put the fire out. And they said, no, I'm sorry. I can't help you out, guy. Now, that was a little bit different. I mean, you know, if... I mean, I can understand, yeah, you need signed agreements and all that kind of stuff, but if he was offering to pay whatever it took, all of their costs, to put the fire out, then Now you got a little bit different situation.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. It would have been so much easier to just pay the $75. And yes, times are hard. I understand that. But you know what? I do not let my home insurance lapse. I do not pay my property taxes. There's a lot of things that I'll do without before I lose my home to something like that.
Yeah. I was just curious to see what your take on it was.
Yep.
Let it go there. On Saturday, there was a very large, gathering in Washington, D.C.
Really? I haven't heard.
Yeah, they've been picking up the garbage for days.
Yeah, Jesus.
There were a few people there, but there was a very large garbage presence.
Yeah, there certainly was. And you know what? The thing that offended me most, I mean, I was always taught as a kid, you pick up your trash, right? Does that mean I've never littered? Yes, of course I have littered. But you know what? That's pretty rare, pretty far between. And usually it has to do with folks who don't like smoking really ought to put butt cans out in front of their establishments and that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, what really offended me on that is what they did to the World War II Memorial. That was just horrible. They left their garbage all over that. And, yeah, that shouldn't be any worse than leaving it anyplace else, but somehow it is.
I just took it as, they're paid to march, not paid to clean up.
Yeah. That wasn't in their union contract. Somebody else has to do that.
Right. So,
yeah.
I think it's funny. I have no idea what the numbers are. I would suggest it was certainly less than 10,000 people.
Yeah,
no,
I don't know. I saw comparison shots. Don't know when each of the respective shots were made. So it's kind of hard to judge from that. But the shots that I saw that were from the Washington Monument, I think it's Washington Monument, clearly indicated that they didn't have anybody in that grassy area to the left of the reflecting pool towards the
right.
Ellipse. And if they and when you saw the 828 shots, that was packed. I mean, that
right.
was just wall-to-wall people. So, I don't know when the shots were taken. I mean, if they were taken before their thing started, far enough before their thing started or far enough after their thing started, yeah, you could get that. But just that visual said to me, man, yeah, they may have had some people there, but it wasn't anywhere close. And the other thing that I found that was probably more telling.
Hang on a second.
Yep. I'm hanging.
No. Isn't that a weird thing on a radio show?
What's that?
Someone knocking on our door looking for Raul.
Raul?
Raul.
Well.
No Raul here.
No Raul's here. Anyway.
The interesting thing, I didn't really care about things because, for me, size doesn't matter.
I see.
I just found it was rather interesting that it was primarily a socialist movement.
Yes, it was.
Event. The communists were there, but, it was mainly a socialist event. I mean, they were unabashedly socialist.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand the socialist mentality. Big government, let all the workers control everything. What is it that they're going to control?
Exactly.
Just out of curiosity,
what is it that they think they're going to control?
because, you know, I just don't get it.
Yeah, me either. I mean, the telling thing to, for me was if you listen to the speeches of the 828 and then listen to the speeches on 10-2, I guess it was 10-2, the qualitative difference between them, the difference between calling for unity, calling for understanding, calling for inclusiveness on 828, and the absolute class warfare, denigration of whoever your opponent might be, calling for, I don't know, like the Wobblies, Workers of the World Unite. You know, it was so qualitatively different that it absolutely astounded me.
In a lot of regards, I think about the Million Man March.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and theoretically how wonderful an idea that is and how corrupting the result was.
Yes. Absolutely.
Is it possible for, and frankly, I don't think the One Nation was not the left, okay? This event was not done by the left. It may have been originally supported by the left and even Obama, but this was absolutely the fringe left. The question is, exactly how much of the left is now fringe?
Exactly.
And this would suggest that it's actually a pretty small portion, simply by the number of people there, but that's not the issue. So who was supporting it before things got carried away on Friday and Saturday would suggest that a lot on the left were supporting it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm not sure that there is an American traditional left. They have either become independent or they have become a part of the fringe.
Big fringe.
Well, it is. But consisting mostly of who? Unions, for one. And my dad was a big union guy. I mean, he was a big union guy, but that was back in the 50s when unions actually meant something. They weren't getting the kinds of deals that they're extracting now. So that was kind of a different movement. But now, it would appear that what they would like is all of the control, all of the power, all of the ability to dictate whatever wages and fringe benefits that they can get without any regard to the viability of either the taxpayer to continue that, to bear that burden, or two, a private industry to be able to thrive and prosper in that environment. So to me, it kind of seems like they're cutting their own throat. And maybe they know something that I don't. Could be. I don't know everything. But nevertheless,
I think I heard it one time, a long time ago when I was at the university. Somebody said, I asked, exactly how much should rich people be paying taxes? And the answer was, so there are no more rich people.
Boo!
And I thought, okay.
They didn't have a very high opinion of how far they could travel, did they?
And I just thought, what happens when you run out of rich people? Well, then everybody will be equal. equally poor is
what. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I just thought it was, but I've always thought this, that and it does. It's not just on the left; it's on the right too. But a very large portion of the planet that we consider to be educated is rather economically illiterate.
True. I'm
Did you see that little note? I know it popped around. Only 23% of the courses at Harvard have a final exam.
I saw that. I couldn't believe it. I mean, boy, you know what? If that is true, there's hardly anybody that couldn't go through a course of study there at Harvard and come out with a degree with all of the theoretical prestige that attaches to that. And never take a final at all on anything.
I'm beginning to think, I suggested it today, that college education is going to become one of the new oxymorons.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And, of course, I've said this before, our experience with the Harvard-educated leaves a lot to be desired.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
So I'm not impressed by anyone. You know, at this point, but if someone comes to me and says, I'm educated at Harvard, I'm going to laugh at them and say,
yeah,
bucket and broom is over there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Here's how you pour this cup of coffee.
I want to make sure that we're actually employing you at the level of your education.
Yeah, that's right. That's
one of the things that I noticed today, shifting focus again.
Sure.
Raising my hand, new topic.
New topic.
Last week, McDonald's said that 30,000 employees were going to lose their health care because of Obamacare. And, of course, Sebelius went nuts about that kind of crap.
Yep.
Today, 3M said that most of its retirees were going to be getting future and current retirees were going to be getting a stipend, basically, to get their own.
Yep. Done deal. Done deal. Yep.
Those are just
how
the beginnings,
spins
assuming
out.
That of a large-scale evacuation from private health care.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see somebody had a graphic over the weekend of how many of the benchmarks that the law required in the first 6 months have actually been met?
Oh, yeah. Saw that.
It's something like 30% of the benchmarks that were supposed to be done in the first 6 months are not even close to being met yet?
Yep. Actually, 70% aren't close to being met. 30% theoretically have been.
It was 30% had, 70% had not been hit.
Yep. Yep.
Hey, at least, you know, they've got 4 years.
Yeah, really?
Here's to get it all right.
Actually, I don't think that they've got that much time. I think it gets all of it gets defunded. And then we'll go on to something else. I truly believe that that's going to happen.
I don't.
No? Well, okay.
And we
that's
were talking
why they have
horse
races.
We were talking about it tonight that, you know, everybody's waiting for November 2nd to happen, but I've said this on the show. I've said it to you separately. I've said it to other people. Yeah, talk to me in March or April next year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The new Republican majority has an opportunity to stretch its legs and start acting. And I got a sneaking suspicion. It's not a sneaking suspicion. I'm absolutely convinced that the Tea Party movement is going to absolutely feel had. They're going to feel absolutely betrayed because half or more of the people that are going to get in under the conservative Tea Party type banner are going to all of a sudden get GOP establishment pragmatist, religion and start, bailing on things right, left, right, and center.
Hmm. Well, Tracy, that could be true. Let me tell you that if that is true, that I think that I think they feel that in 2012.
Oh, if it happens, the GOP's dead.
Well, and I think so are the Democrats. The question is, what replaces them, if anything?
We do. ACP.
There you go. There you go.
ACP.
There you go.
And Soros will develop his own little fringe on the left, and
mm-hmm.
it'll be ACP versus, you know, Soros Conservative Party, the SCP.
Yeah. For those that are listening, ACP stands
Communist
for the American
Party,
Conservative Party. Yeah.
Yeah,
just to make
Communist
sure.
Party.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't even believe in socialism. You know, I don't understand why people support him at all, because he doesn't even believe in socialism.
Who's that?
Soros. He's a flat-out communist.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, you read some of the things that he said, you know, as far as he's concerned, you know, burn the Constitution, get rid of, you know, the three branches of government and just, you know, put people there that can do things. I mean, you know.
Yep.
You know, he's 100% communist.
He's a scary guy. You know, and he's got the financial muscle to back it up with. That's kind of the sad part of that. I mean, he made his money in the capitalist system and the free market system, learning how to manipulate that and learning how to make that work for him, only to use his, from my point of view, his ill-gotten gains to tear down that which made him. So, I can only hope that he
feels the same way that most politicians feel. You know, we can promote the most onerous, you know, legislation in the world because we're going to exempt ourselves from it.
Mm, true. Yep. Yep, yep.
You know, he thinks that, you know, he can promote the most, you know, backward type thing on the economies and people of the world because he's got so much money he can avoid any of the problems that are associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, if he has all that money, he can buy whatever he wants then.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, up until the time that gets confiscated.
Yeah.
I mean, stop and look at the history of socialism, communism, all of those isms. And their history is, yeah, you're right. Yep, we're going to take care of you. You betcha. Oh, by the way, you're no longer exempt, and yes, we will take all of your money, and we're going to expropriate it.
I just think it's going to be interesting when Chavez learns the results of his, you know, fun stuff. I think it's probably about 3 or 4 years away when somebody thinks that Chavez hasn't been pure enough in his desires.
Yeah.
And he's summarily dismissed. And
somebody
that he groomed in some position is going to take over and make things way worse.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is the nature of that process.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he's well on his way to doing that. Apparently he just confiscated, actually nationalized the... let me see. He nationalized the land of a big ag corporation there. Now there's some things if you're a socialist or a communist that you want to do. You want to control the food. You want to control the medical care. You want to control the banking system, and you want to make sure that nobody's got any guns. Well, he's there. We're on our way.
You know, every once in a while I think about that, and every once in a while I think, you know, this country will go to civil war before it gets that far.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, we're partway there. I mean, Obama has the banking industry. Obama has the medical industry, at least for now. He is on his way to getting the food industry. He still has that little problem about guns. And for him, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Because I think it was Jefferson that said the beauty of the Second Amendment is that it will never have to be used until they try to take it. And that's just about right on. I mean, like it or not, we are a nation of gun owners. Who was it? Yamamoto, who said, I think it was Yamamoto, might have been one of the other ones, who said, do not invade the United States of America. There will be a rifle behind every blade of grass. And that's truer today than it was then.
Yeah. The only way the United States gets taken over is by internal desire to do so.
Yep.
You know, and that was somebody else that said it. You know, there's no tyranny like a tyranny voted for.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of quotations on that one. I think it was Madison. Who said, and I will paraphrase because I don't remember the exact words, who said that what tyrannies will result from the misappropriation of words, or words to that effect. And it's really true. I mean, you start getting into 1984 kinds of things where war is peace and peace is war and truth is false and false is true and black is white and white is black. But you look at where we are, and we're getting close to that. You know, PC has done some terrible bad things to our language and our thought processes to where that kind of thing can crop up, and it has. You saw
my conversation with that person that's been ongoing in fits and spurts.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yours and
there are so many times he just wants to, you know, change the definition of things. Now, I understand you and I have a difference of opinion about the idea of changing the definition of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I, you know, he goes beyond that concept of changing the definition of marriage.
I know. Yep. Have you gotten the motivated reasoning argument yet?
Oh yeah, he does that all the time, and I find it to be, he calls it a denier, and of course, I deny that I am in denial about denying anything
exactly.
That is, you know, associated with denying.
Yeah,
so,
I finally told him, look, MR is nothing more than a way to try to, one, change the subject, and two, to be able to counter any argument that anybody makes, right, left, or middle. Doesn't matter. You just say, oh, MR. It's like, oh.
Right, which is what, you know, that whole denial thing.
No, I know. It's crazy.
You know, and of course, this whole thing is, you know, you want to have brain chemicals that stimulate good things. Like, okay, as soon as you can measure brain chemical, you know, in every single person in real time,
mm-hmm.
You know, don't talk to me about brain chemical desires.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like...
It's irrelevant.
It is partly because you only have to look at history to say, I don't think it mattered what the brain chemicals were or weren't. Here is how people react to whatever the stimulus might have been.
Why do people have this problem? Everybody wants to get rid of all the pain, suffering, and stress that's in people's lives. That's what the left wants to do. No more stress, no more pain, no more suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And you know, my argument is that humanity grows when it's under stress.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, pain, suffering, and stress motivate humanity to do things.
Yes, absolutely.
If you eliminate those things, then there's no motivation. And if you want to understand what happens to a society that is self-sustaining and stress-free? Well, look at some of those tropical tribes, you know, that are still living in mud huts.
Yep.
Sort of word here, mud huts.
Yep.
You know, when there's
cooking over dung fires.
Right.
Yeah.
When everything is in balance, you know, you do nothing to disturb the balance.
Right.
And if
exactly.
You do nothing to disturb the balance, then there's no impetus to change in any way. And there you sit. 10, 20,000 years in mud huts.
Yep. Cooking your dinner over a dung heap.
And I'm like, that's not my picture of what I want humanity to be doing over the next 25 years.
That would be really cool for a week's vacation. Yeah, maybe 4 days vacation. I mean, that would be nice.
I got a dog that shits in my front yard. I don't like dung.
Yeah, right.
I'm certainly not going to cook with it.
Well, you know, most of those are island nations. You could eat sushi or something. You know, what the heck. No fire
Thanks.
Required.
Thanks. I still have to eat dinner yet tonight.
Yeah, right.
Somebody yesterday, I posted this to my website. I got time.
Yeah.
TJ and I were at the local Walmart yesterday, and we were coming out, and there was these two clearly hippie types standing at the door, and they were trying to get people to do something about saving the planet. You know,
oh, boy.
They both had clipboards, and they wanted to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I'm walking past, I said, nope, not interested. Plan on using, abusing, wasting, and tossing it away when I'm done.
Yeah.
To which they replied, what about future generations? And I had already walked out of their range, but I kept saying, because CJ was there, I said, you know, let them get their own Earth. You know, the Earth that I live on is big enough to take care of itself.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, this was the final statement, and two comments about it. I said, it is likely that 100 years from now, with very few exceptions, our passing will be unnoticed and our important time in history will be just that, a point in history. Nothing
yeah.
more, nothing less.
Mm-hmm.
We yep. are like snowflakes, each unique but unnoticed in a blizzard. The
yeah.
universe, infinite in its possibilities, and I find mirth that there is but one of me in all of it. But I long ago gave up the fiction that the universe, history, or even the future will note either my presence or absence.
Absolutely.
And I hope, continue to hope, that the rest of humanity comes to the same conclusion
yeah.
eventually.
Yep.
It's this idea that, you know, I had it. You know, I grew up thinking, you know, this must be an important time in history because I'm here to witness it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, yep. I spent the first part of my life waiting for the event that I was supposed to be here to witness or
witness.
Maybe even participate in.
Ooh.
You know, yeah. October 5th, 1865 was probably pretty much like October 5th, 2010.
Yeah.
And probably just as important.
Probably, yep.
You know, to the people that were alive then and to nobody else. You know, and that's kind of this whole idea, we have to save the planet. You know, it drives the activists left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to do
mm-hmm.
something about it now because it's our time. It's the universe... The universe was waiting for us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Obama campaigned on that. You know, he really did. I mean, he tapped into that feeling that, oh, I'm part of something big. You know, and the reality is, no, you're just here now, and after a while you won't be here now, and other people will be here now, and they'll do the same thing. And that's not fatalism, that's not cynicism, that's just a reality.
And on that note...
We're done?
35 seconds.
Okay, shout-outs. Just me, Pammy, if you're around, Short Round 82, Mama Gurkha, Arkansas Traveler, Louisa Ma, Tish, if you were listening, thank you much. We appreciate it.
William? You have
yeah,
your
yeah.
homework to do. I have my homework to do.
Yep.
And we will watch as the polls continue to get closer over the next 3 weeks because that's what they're going to do anyways.
You betcha, kiddo.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Everyone else, you know, we'll talk to you soon in the green room. Off we go.
Okay.
Is there anything that you pay attention to right now that you're paying attention to election-wise?
I'm paying attention pretty closely to that Sharon Angle, Harry Reid thing. She's up in the polls. She's got a 3-point lead at this point, within the margin of error, of course, but nevertheless is a lead. That's a big one that I'm following other than the California races. There's not a lot out other than on Meg Whitman Brown and Fiorina Boxer. I'm really interested in the Popadich one, only because he's a former Marine and all that kind of stuff. David Harmer is looking pretty good. So we're going to see. But the ones that I'm really paying attention to is Angle and Reid.
Not just because they came from Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but I'm paying attention to Feingold because I think he's one of those bellwethers that earlier on in the year
mm-hmm.
Nobody was even considering his seat anything other than to be safe.
Yeah, exactly. But I think he's so far down in the polls that I've kind of shifted my attention away from that. But will it tighten up again? I don't know. Could be. That's
possible. I fully expect everything to get within single digits, in the next 2.5 weeks. I don't think there'll be anything, more than 5 or 6 points.
There was an article on polling leads and victories that did a correlation. And you had to get down into two and three points before it started to be an even up race when they were within 30 days of the election. So if you're more than 3 points ahead at this point, you got some real good odds going for you.
With the exception of probably the PPP or Rasmussen polls, I'm not paying attention to anybody else.
Rasmussen I'm really looking at. PPP, they blew a couple of important races early, most notably the New York 23 one, but others since, that I kind of look at them with a jaundiced eye. I mean, I don't discount them completely, but, I really look at them before I say, I'm believing that one.
I'm looking for momentum changes. That's what I'm
yep.
looking for.
Absolutely.
I'm not worried about what the percentage is. I'm just watching for momentum changes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be really critical. Okay, kiddo, you got stuff to do. So do I. So we will do those.
All right.
Alrighty.
Everyone else, have a good evening. Bill,
yep.
I'll talk to you during the week, and we'll talk next week.
You betcha. Bye now.
Everyone.